I am so excited that for 2024, Your Brand Amplified is proudly sponsored by one of my favorite platforms, Simplified. This AI-driven platform is a game changer for design and video content. With Simplified, I can effortlessly transform lengthy videos, such as my podcast, into engaging, shareable clips and streamline workflows with an intuitive subtitle generator. For designers out there, you can explore the AI-powered image generator, create compelling presentations, and design eye-catching YouTube thumbnails with ease. Revolutionize your creative process at simplify.com with a free trial. Now let's dive into today's guest.
Welcome to Your Brand Amplified, the podcast where we interview marketers, publicists, and brands to learn their stories, what makes them tick, and tips and tricks that make a difference.
This is Annika Jackson with Your Brand Amplified, and I am so thrilled to have a dynamic financial duo here today. They have had the Wall Street Skinny podcast for a year, which is so exciting. Congratulations. Not a lot of podcasters make it there. So I would like to introduce Kristen Kelly and Jen Sarbach to our audience. Thank you both for being here.
Annika, thank you so much. This is such an honor for us.
Well, I'm really excited because I know you're lifelong friends. You call yourselves proud nerds, and you both had different interests before you got into the world of finance. And then that led you to many other things, which led to the podcast and helping dispense information and dispel myths around finance. But what were those paths like? Where did your journey start? Did you become friends in elementary school? High school.
You got it. Yeah. I'll take the beginning of this. So Kristen and I met in the second grade. We have been friends since we were 7 years old. We were talking about this yesterday, that people ask us what we have in common. And I think so many friendships start when you're young via accidents of birth. It's, oh, we were in the same second grade class. We went to school together. We lived in the same town. All these things that you can't control. But then over the course of our lives, even though our paths took us in different directions at one point or another, we actively made the choice to come back to our friendship again and again and again. And it's so special to have people who knew you back when, right? Yeah. And you said we were proud nerds. We were those kids in middle school. No one would let us eat at their lunch table. We were eating lunch together in the stairwell. I mean, it was so sad. We were such nerds. We were both fortunate enough to go to Ivy League universities. I went to Princeton undergrad. Kristen went to Brown. I studied English and had no idea what I wanted to do when I grew up. I thought I was going to be writing the great American collection of essays floating on a raft in the Mediterranean somewhere. But the summer after my sophomore year and the summer after my junior year, I got exposure through friends of mine in school who said, hey, you should really check out the investment banking world. And I thought iBanking stood for internet banking, like doing your banking online at the time, which was like kind of new. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I think doing it in person is still the way to go. They're like, yeah, that's not what that means. And on a total whim, interviewed for a summer analyst position at Morgan Stanley in fixed income sales and trading, spent my summer there, ended up converting that into a full-time job role at Lehman. And actually during my summer internship is where Kristen came into this whole thing because I invited her to come visit me in New York.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I'm going to just quickly jump in. So my path was I had never heard of anything finance related. I went to Brown. I studied biomedical and mechanical engineering because my dad is an engineer and I was good at math and science. And it was like, cool, I'll do this thing. I also didn't know what engineering was either. But I started studying that and I realized I love to learn the engineering stuff, but the test tube stuff, not my thing. Cool. And I did a number of internships. So I did I was in an orthopedic research lab and I was like, this is not for me. Then I did more public relations at a biotech company. I was like, this is not for me either. And then I went to New York City. I think it was when I was turning 21 and I went to visit Jen and I was really jealous of the experience she was getting where she's getting this whole analyst class. They have this amazing training program. And again, I'm a nerd. I was so jealous that she was getting trained and all this kind of stuff. And you have this amazing network. And it just seemed almost college 2.0. So to me, I was I want to do this. But it was actually not that easy because I missed this sort of critical summer internship. And then I was trying to do it, go into a full-time role without having any banking background. And so they would say oh, you are clearly bright. You're studying engineering, but we don't believe that you want this. And so it's really hard to get in if you didn't have an internship. And, it's funny because I was able to work my butt off and I was able to get it. I had to actually stay at Brown and do a fifth year. I did a master's so that I could essentially convert myself into the recruiting cycle, get an internship, all these things. But I had to jump through all these hoops. And what's happened is that as time's gone on, like, you know, we were, this was 2006 that this happened. Mm-hmm. We graduated 2006. And now it's just getting harder and harder and harder for all of these kids. Mm-hmm. And so what we then wanted to do was like basically educate people, because again, I would have never found out about anything related to finance had I not gone and seen what Jen was doing and thought, wow, like this is such a great way to take what I've been doing and do it in a more exciting, you know, place in New York City, like all those kind of great stuff. And I just thought it's like not fair for all these kids who now, if you haven't, now it's like you need a sophomore year internship. It's like, it's just getting crazier and crazier. So that was kind of what sparked this whole idea for the Wall Street Skinny, for our podcast, for our social media, is like, we just want to put this information out there so that if somebody wants to do it, they're not going to find themselves in a situation like I did, where it's like, cool, I'm a senior and I now have basically been boxed out. So that's, again, like Jen was almost like my gateway drug into sort of doing this. And we want to, again, we just want to make this information available for people. Like that's really what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So many young people today are self-starters and they're looking for this information out there. And the information is either really intimidating. It's professorial. It's academic. It's here's a bunch of equations. And if you don't understand these, what's wrong with you? Or it's not necessarily conveyed by experts who have a ton of experience in it. There's a preponderance of people on social media claiming to be experts who maybe had a sophomore year summer internship and not much else. So we're uniquely positioned. Kristen's very modest. I worked on the desk for the better part of a decade. Kristen not only worked on the street, but also has 13 years of experience teaching incoming analysts and associates this material. So we tried to find a new way to make this fun and digestible and break everything down and educate people through education. So I'm going to shut up because clearly we like to talk a lot.
No, that's fantastic. And I teach grad school at USC Annenberg. Uh-huh. And what I find is it's really hard for students to understand how to break in. Part of why they go to USC is because of the network. And because I'm in the field and I'm practicing marketing every day, I'm like, okay, let me connect you to this person or that person. And I think that's one of the biggest parts of my job is my connections, honestly.
They're so lucky to have you as a professor who is willing to do that and to go out on a limb and who isn't just focused on what's my research, what's my publications, all these things, right? I think that's really unique and really special. Something that we talk about in any career path is the importance of identifying mentors and advocates. And it's not necessarily always the people who you think. And so to have that access is amazing.
Well, I'm also not full-time. I'm part-time faculty, so I don't have to do all the research and the academic side.
So that's your student self.
No, that's amazing.
So I'd love to hear more about, because you were a teacher, Kristen, so I want to hear more about that. And then, how did it evolve into what you're doing now with Wall Street Skinny?
So again, when I started at Morgan Stanley, it was 2007. I was put into CDO group, which is basically like, if you've ever seen Too Big to Fail, it's like what took down the entire world economy. Oh, I should add, by the way, Jen started at Lehman Brothers. So between the two of us, like we had a really great beginning to our career for someone who, you know, is here like talking like rah-rah Wall Street. But so I, you know, went through training. And again, like I said, it was literally Disney World, like Disneyland, because you get to meet all these people. I loved that part of it. But then I started to like move into a whole bunch of different groups, mostly because of what was going on at the time. So I was like, well, CEOs is blowing up. So now I'm going to go to this other group. I'm going to go to Converts. Then I was like, well, Converts is blowing up. I'm going to go to Project Finance. But what I realized is that I love learning. Like I love that part of it. And I've always loved teaching. My mom was a teacher. And so when it came to kind of like after my third year, when I was working in banking, you know, I think you get to a point where you're just like, what is going to make me happy? What do I want to do with my life? Yeah. And as much as I get, like to me, the learning was the best part. And so when I went through training at Morgan Stanley, they put me through this program. And I remember being like, again, that is the best part of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So I emailed the instructor that I had, who I have a great relationship with, and said, I want to come work for you guys. Like, I want to do what you're doing, you know, and lead the analyst class and teach them all like the nitty gritty of the finance. Like, I love that part. I don't want to be doing it at 3 a.m., but I want to be teaching that stuff. So I made the switch. I went to this firm. And again, it was like an amazing experience, an amazing learning opportunity. But one of the things that, again, I felt is that we would go on campus. And it's funny, we never went to Brown. I don't know if we were at Princeton. I don't think we were.
I don't know.
But, you know, there's still, like I said, all these kids who are not going to get access to this information because whether we're not at that school or whatever it is. And by the way, it's like you have to know to go into,
seek,
you know, like
out,
to actually take those workshops and all that kind of fun stuff. So I really wanted to just make this information available. The thing that's great with social media, it's like you just like go on the app and you scroll and it serves you something. You're like, oh, wait, this is interesting, you know? And so I felt like there's a way to kind of just expose people to this type of a role like without having to go through, you know, the traditional means. And, you know, the other thing I think is important as well is that the thing about like working on Wall Street, because again, like for me, I decided to leave and I decided to leave early. I was like, this is not for me. However, I do think like getting, even if it's 2 years, the training program and the experience you get like sets you up for basically opening doors that would never be open otherwise. I almost view it as like a 2-year MBA that you basically are paid to do. And again, that was why to me it was so attractive. And so it's like, I want to basically get paid to learn. And so I do think like for people who start on Wall Street, their earnings potential, I think if you compare it to like any other career, and even if you don't stay working in finance, you can go be an entrepreneur, you can do all these other things and leverage your experience. And essentially it sets people up for success. And I feel like this information and that experience like shouldn't be gatekept just for people who like had a parent who whatever was in finance, you know?
Right. Yeah. And also I wanted to flag, because you're both obviously women in finance, was that another barrier?
Honestly, I never perceived it to be a barrier at the time. What I think was a really interesting dynamic that isn't spoken about enough is when we were in the industry, there was a generation of women ahead of us who really had to pave the way. And they were the ones who were breaking new ground. And that, I think, was a really challenging time to go through. I think one of the biggest struggles that I had, honestly, was those women were coming from a place of that trauma and said, I had to go through all this. Now you have to go through it behind me. So I think what's happened with the newer generation that I'm seeing, and I think this started 15 years ago, was women looking behind and saying, okay, I'm pulling you up along with me, right? We're not passing down this hazing, this trauma anymore. We're done. And so especially on the sell side of the industry, which is where we were, which is working at an investment bank, talking to the buy side, which is asset managers, hedge funds, corporations, private equity firms, private credit firms, et cetera, et cetera. On the sell side, because these institutions are so large, because they have such robust HR operations, and because it's so competitive getting into these seats, they can reach such a wide variety of applicants that I think there are so many more women coming up through the industry and not seeing any barriers to entry there for that reason. Where it's more challenging is on the buy side. I think we are on the buy side where we were on the sell side 20 years ago, where women are much fewer and farther between. And where there isn't as much of a culture of people saying, hey, welcome to the flock. Let me bring you in. Let me make this as easy for you as possible. That's what we've observed in our conversations. And that's what I observed anecdotally with my clients.
And I think it's interesting too, and this is sort of a problem, not just in finance. This is like everywhere. I do think that the hardest part for women is when you choose to have kids, because then it becomes like balancing children with the demands of the job. Like, a lot of really high powered jobs. I mean, whether it's you're a doctor, like, I mean, my sister-in-law is an ER doctor. And again, finding childcare for her crazy schedule is a nightmare, right? And for people who are working in finance, especially if you have both parents working in finance, like, because a lot of times in New York City, you will have, you know, both parents of the couple. And it's like, if you have to get in, you know, a lot of times, like, they'll have to leave at 7 a.m. and they won't get home until 8 p.m.
Six, yeah.
And so it's just, the childcare aspect can get really, really difficult. And so, and again, it seems like this is sort of an issue, not just in this industry, but when women decide to have kids, that it affects their career more. I mean, I have seen that certain firms are really trying to help. But again, it's like, you can only help so much, right? The demands of the job of like, okay, now I need to hop on a plane. We had this conversation actually on Monday with this woman. And, you know, she's like, look, like I was working in investment banking, but I have to hop on a plane and go to Japan. My kid won't take a bottle. Like, what am I going to do? So that, you know, she's like, I decided I wanted to pivot and do something that was a little more flexible. So I do think it's still a problem. And again, I think banks are getting better. And actually, I think they're getting better than like some of like small businesses who don't have the ability to afford, you know, to like give people 4 months off and to not dock their pay and all that kind of fun stuff, especially living in America where the child care, you know, the paid family leave thing is a little bit of an issue. But yeah, I think that's where it gets tough. And so you do see that, again, as people start to get more senior, the number of females starts to go down and down, unfortunately. Yeah. And that is still the case.
What does life look like for you both now? Where are you working for your day jobs? What are you actively involved in?
Honestly,
are you that balance? Because I see your
I've never been happier. And, you know, it's funny. We have taken on such a monumental task. And I leap out of bed every morning. And at night when I have to go to bed, I'm like, oh, what a bummer. So, I mean, logistically speaking, we're actually in two different cities. We think we've mastered like the work from home, work remote thing. We actually bought, we tell this story all the time. I don't know if you remember during the pandemic, Meta, Kristen's holding it up. Meta released these like portals. And the whole idea was like, while you're trapped in your house, don't you want your grandparents up on your mantle watching you? And everyone was like, no, no, we don't. No, there's no market for that. Well, there's a market and it's partnerships where one person is in a different city from you. So I'm in Charlotte. Kristen's in Boston. I'm still a full-time real estate agent, but I've luckily brought in a partner who's able to help me with a lot of the blocking and tackling on that front. But we're running a multi-pronged business. And so our day-to-day ranges from creating social media content, recording and editing podcasts. And now we're in the process of building out a self-paced course library that people will be able to download that is going to hopefully change the entire way that people learn this material. Wow. It's not just going to be a PowerPoint presentation with someone droning on over it. We're really looking to change that entire model of how people learn this information the same way that we've been doing in these bite-sized pieces.
Yeah. And I guess the other thing, so, I mean, we're both full-time parents. I have three kids, five, three, and one. And Jen has a couple as well, a little older, but yeah, it's great. I mean, it's again, like, I think it's one of those things where we love being creative. Like when we were kids, we used to sit there and like, we would, you know, just cut things out of magazines, like draw, write, but you know what I mean? Like, it's like we get to create and there is something that it's fun. It's like a puzzle. It's how can I explain this thing that seems really boring and make it exciting, right? How can we tell a story about explaining whatever it is, an IPO, a leveraged buyout, using pop culture, using a book? Like, I mean, Jen was an English major and when we do some of our podcast episodes, it's like, cool, let's take a look at this book, like Going Infinite, and use it to talk about just what life is like if you're at a high frequency trading firm, or use the We Crash series to talk about, again, failed IPOs and SPACs. And like, there's just something that's really fun. And again, as like a former engineer, or studying engineering, but it's like puzzles and it's like, but it's like puzzles that are fun. And so to me, it's just like, it's everything that I want to be doing with my time. I think it's actually, it's funny because when I was working full time at the prior employer that I was at, I was working significantly less. Like now we are probably both working, and this is not counting Jen's real estate stuff. Like we're both probably working 15 hours a day on our things alone. And that is not the parenting and the other stuff. So my husband has had to fill in, and he has a very demanding full-time job, but he also like has to kind of on the weekend, it's like he's taken a little bit extra care of the kids because I'm whatever, trying to get the podcast out, trying to get our clips up, like trying to do stuff. There's just, it's a lot, but it's so much fun. So like, it doesn't feel
so
like
so much fun. I will say this too, philosophically, I don't know from your audience how many entrepreneurs you have who are a little bit older like us. I know that entrepreneurship culture is very, very popular with young people these days. I don't know how many people are verging on 40 and are just now starting their own businesses. But I can say that I do see people who are in our cohort, right, who are in their 40s, maybe headed into their 50s, and who have stopped learning. They've reached the pinnacle of their career. They've become experts in a very narrow field. And it's like, well, now what? To be able to be learning new things and asking childlike questions at the age of 40 about complex topics, and to have the access that we do to people at the tops of their professions to teach us this stuff, I can't tell you how intellectually and emotionally rewarding that is to continue learning and to feel like there's blue sky ahead on that front.
Oh, yeah.
And I really think that that's so important from a personal emotional fulfillment standpoint, from a longevity of your career standpoint. We're like every day, we're like, what about this new business idea?
And
it's crazy, right? It's not like when you're out of the bar with your friends and you've had a couple of drinks and you're like writing down a napkin, you're like, this is a $1 billion idea. And you look at it the next day and you're like, what were we thinking? But like, that's every morning when we wake up, we're like, what? And it's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is something so freeing about being able to be in that creative space. And I do find a lot of women who listen are in that exact spot where they are mid-career professionals. They've kind of done everything they can. Maybe their kids are a little older. They're looking for their what next. And they want to do something that's fulfilling and where they can be creative and passionate about what they're doing, but they're not quite sure what that might be, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask a little bit about your audience, because I also know my daughter is 15, almost 16, probably 16 by the time this comes out. She is a total nerd. She's going to major in neuroscience, get her PhD in that, and wants to be a researcher.
Cool.
But she also does she has stocks and she looks at the stock market every day. And so if, even if she doesn't want a job on Wall Street, would the information she gets from your podcast be valuable to her as well as to somebody who's a little older?
Absolutely. We have been so surprised by the range of our audience. I think everyone tells you in Business 101, right? Identify the avatar for your business. And we're like, okay, it's someone who's 20 years old and is entering a first career, blah, blah, blah. We have listeners in their teens who are curious about these things, partly because of what Kristen said, because the environment is so increasingly competitive. They're like, I'm in school and I'm thinking about this. It's nuts. We're like, do your parents know you're talking to us on the internet? Like, but our audience ranges from the very young and intellectually curious, because there is so much more access to this information on a global scale now that people are hearing about things in the career world and in the markets world that they never would have otherwise. But what's also so surprising is equally on the other end of the barbell, we have people who are C-level executives who run these companies that we never would have had an audience with had we been like applying for a job back in the day, who are now sending us messages being like, hey, I want to talk to you. Hey, let's be friends. And or it's friends of ours even who are like, my insert here, wife, husband, son, father, daughter, mother, et cetera, is in the business. And I've never understood what the heck they're saying. And I wanted to listen because you guys explained the finance of succession. I really love succession. So that's why I listened to that episode. And I stayed. And now I casually know how to trade Fed Funds futures. So it's really cool and totally unexpected. And it's wild. We love it.
Yeah. And one of the other things that we're doing, too, is like, you know, we did an episode on doctors versus bankers, because I almost went in to be a doctor. Like, I was a biomedical engineer and I was initially thinking, like, I'm going to go to medical school. And so we had a conversation with my sister-in-law, who is a pediatric ER doctor and a plastic surgeon, and like talked about, because again, like there's with doctors, like depending on the specialty, it can be so broad, like what your day-to-day looks like, what your comp looks like everything. But we had a conversation. And so we're trying to not, I mean, obviously break down kind of all of these different finance things. We have, you know, the fun episodes, like the pop culture with, then we have some, which is more like, what do you do in this whatever role that you're doing? Like, what does the day-to-day look like? So we've got just a really wide range of topics. And so our podcast audience, again, it kind of varies. And then on the social media side, like, it's crazy. We literally had a call yesterday with the founder of a, like, multi-billion dollar private equity firm that I actually had done training at, like, back in the day, who reached out and is like, I saw you on TikTok. Like, I'd love to talk to you guys. And it was just like, okay. Like, so it's
wild.
I mean, it's crazy. The reach is insane. But that is also, again, like, what we wanted, right? We want this information to get to people. And we try to make, like, on the video side, on the social media side, the videos fun, so that it's like, people are like, wow, I don't care about finance, but I'm still going to watch you explain like what an interest rate swap is, because it seems fun. So that's kind of the goal.
100%. There's so much intersectionality. And I think it helps people. Take the case of your daughter who wants to get into neuroscience, right? She's going to do all this research. Well, what's going to happen with this research? Is she going to be interacting with the pharma side? Is she going to be interacting with the nonprofit side? Is she going to be interacting with the hospital and the medical system, right? Any one of those number of things have ties to the financial services industry in a variety of ways. So we did an example of an episode recently with a healthcare private equity investor. Okay. Oh, that's going to really impact how care is delivered and how payers and payees are impacted and the efficiency of that system, and hopefully trying to solve some of the problems there, right? We did, like Kristen said, another episode talking to doctors about, hey, listen, many doctors don't necessarily understand what the personal finances are. They think they're pursuing this huge noble profession, but what does it mean to be ingrained in an elite institution like a research hospital versus a private practice? And what does that look like? And what does that look like in terms of their compensation?
Right.
And then on all of these things, right, so there's a tie into some piece of the financial services industry, but there's also the human element where there are conversations that people are sometimes uncomfortable having around money. People's level of comfort with their personal finances, with talking about finances with their friends, especially as women, I think is something that we struggle with. And so we even did an episode recently on how to negotiate your compensation. And I don't care if you work on Wall Street, wherever you work, that's the kind of episode that everybody needs to be listening to, because getting those reps in and ripping off the Band-Aid and feeling really comfortable having those conversations and being in control of your compensation is something that you need across all levels of your career. And I do think it's something that we've done a disservice to ourselves as women, that we don't feel comfortable.
Right.
Now, Kristen and I talk all the time about numbers, right? But we didn't used to. It was like, we don't talk about money. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's such an important topic. I think I love that you said is that you have access now to all these other people because of the information that you're giving. And that's one of the things I love most about podcasting is it's not just what can I share, but then I'm meeting all of these incredible people and then I can go, oh, let me connect you to this person, or I need you to talk at the university about this, or, oh, now I have this other piece of research that I can bring back to my students that I didn't have before by somebody who's doing it right now. So that's another amazing thing that I love about this platform.
Who's the like most unexpected guest that you've made a connection with that has transformed into something, if you can share?
Gosh, there are several in the AI space right now. One is Manoj Agarwal. He is based in Vancouver. He's been in AI for over 20 years. He has 4 patents. He has been an advisor to Microsoft and to Startup Vancouver. And he is so optimistic about AI and how it's going to decrease our cost of living. And it's going to create more room for creativity and for us to like have the dream jobs and pursue what we really want to pursue versus the menial task that AI will be able to handle for us. And I just loved hearing that because he's been in it so long. And that, and there's all this like uncertainty about AI, but that just changed my perspective to, okay, I'm going to look at this as a real, I use it all the time for like my podcast, you know, show notes, things like that. But I also want to know like other implications for our daily lives and how.
Right. So well, and I think obviously that is the conversation of our time. And I think probably the most important conversation that this generation, that our generations are collectively having right now is what is the impact going to be? But I love that you shared that perspective because I've always been in the Terminator camp. I'm terrified of AI. I'm like, I don't want to touch this stuff. I'm not like anything that's like, don't you want to use AI? I'm like, nope, unsubscribe. I don't want to touch this at all. And Kristen's much more balanced, I think, in her view when she's been like, well, Jen, like, listen, if we're going to put together a newsletter, are you really going to write all the copy? Like, can't we use ChatGPT to at least give you an outline?
Well, and it's not even, I mean, it's also like, not even that. Like, my understanding is like, you could take like a transcript from your podcast and like put it in to like generate something. So it's not even like you're, you know, doing it from random stuff that the internet is spitting out. It's like from what you are spitting into it. So I was like, that would be kind of cool. And again, we haven't looked into this, but it's something that I was like, I've talked to other creators who are doing, I mean, not in the finance space, but who that's how they're doing it. Because I messaged this one woman who she's like me. She's a mom of 3 kids, same age. She has an online presence. She has a podcast and she's running her own business. And then I saw her newsletter and I'm like, Lindsay, how are you doing that too? Which is like, oh, I have, you know, I'm using AI to help and, you know, take my podcast info and now turn it into a newsletter. So it was just sort of interesting that, you know, there are tools and I do think it's going to make life easier, but it's also like, it's not like you hit print and it's now good to go. It's like, no, you have to tweak it. Yeah. You have to fix it. Like, it's not perfect, but it at least starts the process. I have used it actually when we had to write, I think like an au pair letter. We didn't end up like getting an au pair, but initially I had to write an au pair letter and I was like, I don't know what to write. So we had it write something as a base and then we were able to modify it for our situation.
Exactly.
It's what we get asked about so often too from young people coming into the industry because, and I'm sure this applies to any industry, but I do think on the trading side or thinking about people who had maybe always prided themselves and, hey, I'm an Excel ninja, right? I can put together this thing so well and so quickly and I know all the shortcuts and don't have to use a mouse and whatever. And it's like, cool, what's AI going to do to all of these roles? And I do think there's a lot of apprehension on behalf of young people coming into the industry. And universally, the answer right now seems to be that, like you said, AI can be a tool to enhance and maybe take away some of the drudgery of these tasks, but garbage in, garbage out, you still need human oversight over inputs and you need to look at the outputs and say, does this make sense?
Yeah, I was going to say the thing that I am more worried about is almost like the lack of learning, because when I used to go and we would teach like a 2-day financial modeling workshop at a business school, and again, like AI probably eventually can replace people having to build the model. But at the end of that 2-day workshop, I would have people come up to me and say, I learned more about accounting in this 2-day workshop than I did in my entire semester of accounting. And it's because like the act of putting together a model like teaches you how everything works together, right? Building the model is a way that you're learning. And I do worry a little bit. It reminds me of like when you actually write things pen and paper, it hits your brain. You learn it differently than if you're typing it out. So if you're now not needing to type anything, like now you're needing to type it, right? So I do worry about just the younger generation. Like, are they going to be learning things And maybe they don't need to because maybe they – but it's also like I just feel like you've been missing out on like just such a rich world of understanding everything around you. And so I think
about
that –
like this. Like my husband doesn't know how to get around Charlotte because he uses the GPS everywhere, right? He's never actually – I'm not saying he needs to like navigate by the stars when he's driving to dinner. But he's never gone through the process of learning the streets, learning the directions, right? Every time. He plugs in work and home. And we live 3 miles away from his office. He's like, oh, I'm optimizing the route. Like, but could you do this without the GPS? The jury's out.
Right.
So it's the same thing, right? You're not going to know the ins and outs and the intricacies and all of the different ways that these things relate to each other as well if you don't go through the reps and you don't go through that process of forging those new neural pathways for yourself.
Yeah. That's a very good point. On the other hand, for somebody like me, I don't want to have to go through the accounting classes and figure out all of the formulas and all of the things. I just want somebody to share them with me because that's not my brain.
Okay. Well, no, I do think that there's definitely, again, for most of us, right? Like we had to do like this tax stuff today. And I was like, Jen saw, I was so frazzled. I was like, does this even matter? Right? Like, and she's like, yeah.
Yeah. Chris was like, I don't want to do this whatsoever. And I'm like, yeah.
It's just so like mine, like that's the type of stuff where I'm like, if I could just press a button and all of that would just be magically sorted through and put into a spreadsheet. And then I just had to look at it and be like, this looks great. You know, that would be amazing. But, you know, when it comes to like the accounting and the modeling, if you're someone who's in the like the finance world and you want to understand, okay, like you're actually advising a company on certain things that they want to do from a strategic standpoint, or if you're thinking as an investor, like, should I be buying this? Should I be not? I do think it helps to have that understanding if it is actually part of your day-to-day life or is your day-to-day role. And it's also, I just think it's cool, but I'm also a nerd, right? I literally was telling Jen, I switched my major from biomedical to mechanical engineering my junior year because I was like, I want an excuse to take the advanced thermodynamics class and I can't take it as an elective because that's just really silly. So I was like, I'll switch my major so then I'm forced to take these like crazy classes because I just think it's interesting. So, you know, I think it's, I don't know.
No, absolutely. For the world that you're in, and it just makes me laugh because we had this conversation with my daughter yesterday about how many AP classes she realistically wanted to take next year, junior year of high school. And she wants to take a zero period and everything except for one class was honors or AP, except for one thing. But she said it's basically honors level. And we're like, but do you want to do anything else outside of school? And she's like, no, this is really important. So we're like, okay. If your counselor says it's okay, then it's totally fine with us. But I love that you have the knowledge, right? And not everybody who listens to your podcast is going to need that knowledge, but they'll get enough of it to understand the conversation, understand what's going on when they read the paper or overhear somebody.
So yeah, best case scenario, if you see a finance meme and you understand it better because of us, we did our job.
Or if you're watching Succession, which like we said, we just this last week, we did a finance of Succession because most people are watching it and some of the jargon, like, again, my mother literally was like, can you send me that episode? Because my friends, you know, she's down in Florida with her friend and she's like, they didn't understand what was going on. I was like, cool, sure, I'll send you that, you know. But what we're trying to do is we want to be creating things that are entertaining independently. And then like learning is a byproduct, right? Yeah. Like it's almost like you're tricked into learning stuff. Like, you're watching this thing because like, oh, it's cool music and it's fun. And then you're like, oh, cool. I learned something new. Or yesterday we were having this talk with one of my neighbors and he was like, oh, yeah, all this stuff. He's like, I learned this in business school at Wharton, but like I totally forgot about it. But now it's like reminding me of all the stuff that I learned. So like I love hearing that, you know, like I love hearing that we're whatever, helping people learn things or reminding people of things. And it's meant to be fun and the learning a byproduct. Like that's what we want to do.
When you started the brand, did you start with the socials first? Did you start with a podcast? Did you know what that roadmap was going to look like?
Oh, such a good question. We always joked, and Kristen, I want you to speak about this because you were the brains behind the social media operation. But when we first came up with the idea for the business, I remember exactly where I was in a house. Like, I remember the phone call we were on or whatever, all this fun stuff. And that night, when my husband got home from work, I was so excited. I was like, listen, we have a $1 billion idea. Here's the business. This is going to be amazing. And Kristen had the same conversation with her husband. And they were both, again, they were both wonderful dudes. They're both very supportive. And they're like, great, go write a business plan. And we were like, no, we're just changing the world. We're going to write a business plan. And we just did it. And it was one of those things. I don't know if you've read The Lean Startup. I've been reading that these days. But it was really just like, do it and get the feedback and figure it out later. Right. But Kristen had the idea for the social media. And that's where we started first.
Right.
Yeah,
do you want to talk about how you kind of came up with that?
I mean, it's funny. I actually, because one, again, I have a friend who was in a totally different industry. She's a dietitian, and I saw her basically putting out this like really educational content that was resonating with people. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is such a brilliant idea. Like, there should be something like this for finance. And there wasn't. Like, basically in the finance social media landscape, it's, first of all, it has, everything is a very masculine energy.
Yes.
It's almost like, I don't know. It's like
it's all the classic
finance bro. Like, it's like the tech bro stereotype. It's similar, right? The finance bro. It's just this like kind of obnoxious, like sort of almost like trying to play into that, right? Like, even though most of the people we met were not that, they were like great people. I mean, Jen and I both married men who work in finance. My brother works in finance, and they're wonderful people. Like, they don't fit that stereotype in the slightest.
The finance bro is alive and well on social media.
Online.
Yeah, that's where you see it. Minimally in real life.
Mm. But it was also mostly just memes, right? So it's just funny meme account stuff. And so Jen and I were talking. I was like, we should somehow, well, first of all, we had always wanted to do a podcast. And so initially we were going to do a podcast about like parenting or whatever. And I was like, there's so many podcasts like that. I was like, what if we did something explaining just like all this finance? Because actually at the time, Lehman had just gone, sorry, just Lehman. At the time, SVB was like on the process of basically going bankrupt. And Jen had a firsthand account at Lehman. And I was like, you know what we should do? We should basically like tell the story of Lehman going bankrupt and then explain what's going on with SVB. And in order to do that, we basically had to backtrack and tell like, what does an investment think? And like all these things. And so that was where sort of the podcast, I was like, by the way, if we're doing a podcast, like there's nobody that seems to be creating educational videos on Instagram in the finance space. Like, this seems like such an opportunity to do that. Like I said, because I saw what this friend had been doing in the dietetics world. And so that was how that whole thing came about. We actually launched the podcast and the social media account like the same day. But so it was like one of those things where it was working together. And ultimately, as Jen said, what's been amazing is we've been able, especially with the social media content, it's such a process where it's like you put something out, you see if it works. If it doesn't work, you're like, great, we're going to tweak it and we're going to do this. And then you continue to do that. And the algorithm is always changing. So like sometimes it's pushing your stuff and everything's great. And then the algorithm changed. The same thing that was working perfectly, like doesn't anymore. So you have to like update in real time and say, great, that's not working anymore. Let's do this now. So it's been this, again, like process of trial and error. And again, as we've been doing it, I guess the other thing, which is so funny, is like when I was in college, I thought that like marketing and PR, I was like, oh, I don't want to do that. Yep. And now it's like that is a main part of what we're doing. And it's really fun. Like, it's actually really fun. And it's just funny how it's one of those things that I never thought I would be interested in. And it actually has become something that we're doing like all the time now. So it's just really, again, fun is, I think, the right word for it.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that, because I think so many brands say, oh, we're going to launch, but we're not going to pay that much attention to what we're doing, or they don't really know how to do it the right way. And it's clear that even though social media, PR, marketing was not your background, that you figured out how to use it to your advantage to make sure you're getting the right information out in front of the right people and helping grow what you're doing. But then also market test, okay, what's next?
Right.
That's exactly right.
Your online curriculum, correct? Right? That you're launching?
Yeah.
That's right. Exactly.
No, I was just really quickly going to say, I mean, the other thing that is just so amazing these days is you can take someone like me and Jen who have no marketing background. And obviously, we're not going to know anything near like what, you know, the experts do and know and all that kind of fun stuff. But we can get a little bit of a taste, right? Like when we wanted to start the podcast, we listened to a podcast and how to start a podcast. I started to listen to like Online Marketing Made Easy, right? Like there's different podcasts and ways that you can get access to this information so that you have a little bit of knowledge. Now, it's not going to replace like the actual experts, but it gives you the ability to sort of start and do things. And then eventually you can like then go to the experts and be like, okay, now we need the help, you know, but at least gets you so that you have the ability to know a little bit of like what you should be doing. So you can like learn as you're going. Right.
And I think too, when thinking about branding, I think that so many people go about it backwards. They say, I have a widget, right? I have this thing that I want to sell. Now I need to create a brand around that. I'm going to go hire a brand expert, and then I'm going to hire someone to figure out distribution and someone to figure out marketing and all these things. We did it completely upside down. And I think that if anyone's thinking about starting a business, I would advocate that this is the right way to do it, even though I have no business degree and no marketing knowledge. So this is just, you know, from an amateur who's currently a practitioner. What we did is we said, we have nothing to sell. We don't care. Mm-hmm. We're just going to build a community. We're going to ask that community to tell us what they want.
Yeah.
And ask them, okay, what problems do you have? and where do we fit in as part of that solution? Mm-hmm. That's why we're developing a course now. It's not because we were like, oh, we always have had this master plan that we want to have online courses. Everyone was like, where's your course? When are you delivering us a course? Yeah. We need a course. And we're like, oh, well, here's someone else who's got a course that we, you know, believe in their mission. And they're like, that's cool. I don't want that. Yep. Where's yours?
Because you're the trusted course.
That's exactly right. We built trust and we produced authenticity with no agenda and said, what do you guys want from us? What do you want to see more of? What do you want to hear more of? And we're meeting that demand. And we can react to that feedback in real time. And if those demands change and the needs of our community change, we can pivot to that. Because at the end of the day, our brand and our business is just delivering information and building a sense of trust. And that's literally it. Whatever products we have on the back end are just a byproduct of that.
Yeah, I love that though. Because I think you're right. So many people go into it with, I'm going to create a course. I'm going to do this because they see it as a fast way to make money. But they haven't built up the trust of an audience. Like I've created courses for the same reason, because when I would work with a client on PR, they'd be like, have a brand. I said, I'm ready for PR. I'm like, no, you don't have a brand. You have a logo. You have a website. Let's go back and develop this. And it's like, okay, this is a missing component in the market for startup businesses and small businesses and entrepreneurs. Let's do your brand development. And then we'll look at marketing and digital and all of the other things. And the same thing with podcasting, right? Like so many people ask me questions about it because I'm willing to like try all the different things and see what works and doesn't work for me. And then say, here's a pathway that I think will help you become more successful faster, because I'm doing it as kind of a hobby. And then now I'm like, okay, now this is kind of my full-time thing besides teaching, and I'm going to put much more time and energy and money into it.
So, yeah. What do you think was like the biggest step that you took to make your podcast successful and to grow so rapidly like you have?
Well, it's been 3.5 years almost since the podcast. I had a couple of other podcasts and shows before. It was a hobby. I mean, I didn't consistently put out episodes. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to do more with this. And so that was in 2022. I started putting out weekly episodes and just being more consistent. And then that really helped me leverage a network and grow. And then talking about it on social, which I took a little break from, but now I'm doing again. So, you know, all we have are ups and flows. But that's really when it's when I built in the consistency. And I think once you get over a certain number of episodes, like you reach that 100 episode, it's kind of a golden metric, right? Then it's the algorithms start feeding you to more people because they're like, oh, you're real. Like,
We didn't know that. Yeah. We just crossed the 50 threshold, right? I'm no mathematician, but it's been 1 year. We should have something on the order of 52 episodes.
Well, that's fantastic. But that also, because I'm about 300 episodes.
Wow.
Almost.
Wow.
I've recorded more than that, but I've released maybe 280 something.
Wow.
But that also, somebody was like, oh, once you're up to 300, you're in the top 3% of podcasts, because most podcasts don't make it to that many episodes.
Oh my gosh. Even by
being in business a year, you've already reached a milestone that most people are never going to.
Yeah.
So something new to celebrate. I love it. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
No, that's really, really interesting. And how do you stay? Because we're so pumped about it right now. But man, you listen to some older shows and you're like, you seem like you're just sleepwalking through this thing, right? Like, how do you stay so energetic and committed to it and keep this dynamism and energy going?
I feel more dynamic about it now than ever. When I first started it, it was PR. I'm only going to ask 5 questions and I'm a community publicist. And I was like, it just didn't work. And I'm like, I don't just do PR because I have experience in like all realms of marketing as well. And so then I expanded it and I was like, well, I'm also an entrepreneur and I've had multiple businesses. So let's do it more about that. And I just get so excited because I learn something from every single guest I have. I get to form a new relationship. You know, I have a better Rolodex. It's an old word, right?
Yeah. No, for those listeners here who need to like dust off a fossil of a Rolodex.
And I have access to people I never would have had access to that I can then go to and say, hey, you're the subject matter expert. I really thought this, or I just was actually being interviewed for an article for Fortune, algorithmic bias for the upcoming election and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, you should talk to these two people. So then people, you know, and so I get to use it as something that I can share and pass on. And then I also get that benefit of the goodwill and like, okay, now we can work together on other stuff. So I don't know. It just like every time you do an episode, I think you are also extroverts. So it also just, you get that energy of having these
I disagree. I'm so worried. Like I told you, eating lunch in the hallways together like nerds. Kristen enables me to feel comfortable coming out of my shell because I know I've got my little bestie here who's got my back and, and hopefully vice versa.
It goes both ways. I mean, it is funny. I do think that we, you know, because people have said like, how on earth do you feel comfortable? We literally did a video of ourselves like dancing on social media earlier this week and like never in either of our wildest dreams. Like Jen actually, when we first started was like, I want to hire paid actors to do the videos for me because I don't want my face out there.
That's exactly like, what I said.
The podcast we were in, she wanted to be anonymous. Like she did not want any of that. Wow. And I think that it's the type of thing where it's like, because it's the two of us, like it almost gives you permission to be silly or to do something and to try new things. And like, if it was us by ourselves, I think I am someone who has always been very like, sometimes again, I used to consider myself very shy, but I think that it allows you to come out of your shell, like Jen said, like being together.
Yeah.
I think we are just a much better, I know for me, like I'm a better version of myself when like we're together, like I'm a more fun version. Like she brings out the best in me and my personality. And so I just think that that has been really helpful. Like if it was me by myself sitting there doing a video, I would be like, but the two of us, it's a different dynamic. And so it makes it a lot more fun. It allows us to take more risks. And actually, by the way, I think that's one of the things that has made it so that we've been able to almost get a little more successful is that everyone in our niche, in the finance niche, is very like up and, you know, stuffy. And we just don't care. I mean, we're turning 40 this year. We are trying to get a job on Wall Street. And like, we know our stuff. Right. Well, the other thing is that we know our stuff. We know that we are subject matter experts. And if we're not the expert, we have found the expert. And the content we're putting out, we know our FHIT, right? So it makes it a lot easier to take risks, to be fun, and people relate to that versus the videos that are, again, in the space that we're in, mostly feel very stuffy because people are not willing to take a risk.
Yeah, 100%. I love that you're still in mom mode where your kids don't know how to spell the words yet, that you can spell them out. I can't get away.
Catherine knows. My five-year-old knows. My five-year-old knows, but the rest of them do not.
Oh, my kids have gotten a good education in four-letter words every time Kristen's on the phone. Like, magically, whenever my kids are in the car and she's on speaker, she's like, it's like, bleep, bleep, bleep. And I'm like, kids, like, there's your vocabulary expansion for the day.
I don't normally swear a lot. It's only when her kids are in the car.
Only when my kids are in the car. I don't know why. It's because it's only like 5 p.m. And by 5 p.m., we're like, can you believe this?
Well, I think the trust that you have with each other is evident. And I love the fact that it's helped you create this platform that's so authentic, so genuine, really there to help serve people. And so I just thank you both for what you're doing and what you're putting out in the world. I'm so excited to see what you do next. And I just wanted to ask before we jump off, do you have a favorite quote, mantra, family motto, words of wisdom, or something that's like a secret language between the two of you that you'd like to share with us?
Oh, do we have a favorite? Do we? Well, our motto is the finance education for the TikTok generation, which is what Kristen came up with, which I think is a banger. I think that that's amazing. But gosh, what's our, do we have like a secret motto or anything like that?
No, I mean, I think when we were kids, we probably did the, what was it called? Like the, where you talk, but the ob language, like ob talk or whatever. But that was 37 years ago. 33. I just aged us a few years.
Yeah, no, I mean, if I had to describe like our personal motto, it's just always keep learning and never take yourself too seriously, you know,
and that's and have fun.
Yeah, exactly. If you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong. And that's true with anything in life. And that's something that's really hard when you're young to understand. And it's a gift of age, I think. That,
absolutely.
A little bit of wisdom there.
And the Wall Street Skinny on all platforms?
Yes. Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn. We have a burgeoning YouTube channel that we're starting to put some effort into. That's our next mountain to climb. And yes, the podcast is called The Wall Street Skinny, and it's on all podcast platforms everywhere.
Yeah. And of course, your website. So people.
Oh, yeah. TheWallStreetSkinny.com. There you go. It's awesome. Easy to remember.
So easy. Well, this has been such a fun conversation. I'm excited to share it with my daughter because I haven't shared it with her yet. She's not podcast listener yet, but she loves watching YouTube. So I'll have to like
there you go
YouTube as well. And just thank you both so much for coming on and having this conversation with me.
Thank you for your time, your energy, your expertise. We are honored to be here, and we're so in awe of what you're doing, and can only hope to one day reach that 300 episode mark.
I have no doubt.
Awesome. And thank you so much.
Yeah. And thanks to the audience for watching or listening this episode of Your Brand Amplified on Traverse TV, 360 Talk Radio for Women, or your favorite podcast platform. I'll be back again in a few days, if it's the weekend, or tomorrow, if this episode is coming out during the week, with another amazing expert or set of experts to help you navigate life a little easier. Want more? Check out amplifywithannika.com or follow me on socials at amplifywithannika.
As we close out today's episode, I want to thank Simplified again for making it possible. For all marketers and creators out there, Simplified is your ally in effortlessly crafting on-brand content with design and video AI. Discover how AI can enhance your creative process at simplify.com. Start for free and elevate your content game. Thanks for listening, and here's to your next creative breakthrough.